The last 2 weeks, we have been talking about being a true disciple of Jesus Christ, or being a true Christian. And this week, I want to continue on with that same thought by digging deeper into the greatest commandment, or the foremost commandment. Now, in the Gospels, there's actually, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three gives an account of Jesus speaking or teaching us what is the greatest commandment. So let's just look at one account in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. So it's Mark chapter 12, verse 28, and this is what it says. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all, or which is the foremost commandment of all? Verse 29, Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Verse 32. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared question him. So this whole account happened is that, you know, Jesus was actually conversing or having a sort of intellectual debate with some of the teachers of the law, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. These are people who are respected theologians during that time, who they're discussing many different things. If you read the whole chapter 12 of Mark, you can see what they're talking about. But during their discussion, one of the scribes came and asked Jesus, okay, so, you know, there are so many commandments in the Bible, so which one is the greatest commandment? And Jesus himself turned and quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 5, which is, you know, the hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus quoted this and you know, basically placed a stamp of approval on this truth, saying that this is the greatest commandment. And the second commandment is that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. So we can see that just from what Jesus answered, Jesus, you know, himself being the Son of God and being God himself is telling us that the greatest commandment, the most important commandment, the one that is most closely held in his heart, is that we should love him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. So we can all see that, you know, it is always God's intention, it is always in God's heart that we have a love relationship with him. The first and the greatest commandment is to love him, and the second, you know, which there is no other commandment greater than these two, is, you know, second, the first being loving God, and the second is to love others. So you can see that love, you know, is a very, very high priority in God's sight, and to love him above anything else, you know, as we established last week, when we talk about the prerequisites of being Jesus' disciples, is the most important part, the most important motivation that God wants and God desires. God looks at the motivation and the people's heart. You know, he does look at the action and the results of those actions, but even more so than that, he looks into the motivation. Because a similar action could have different motivation. Someone who gives money to the poor may do it because they have, you know, a compassion for the poor, because, you know, they love God and seeing, you know, the heart of God for the poor, which is, you know, clearly established in the Bible, that God loves those who are, you know, downtrodden and oppressed. People may give to the poor for many different reasons, but only the reasons that are in sync with what God desires and what God wants are accepted to God. People may give to the poor because, you know, just because they want the accolades and the praises that other men may give them. You know, when you give money to the poor, you know, the other people will see you and think of you, you know, as, you know, maybe some great guy, some good person. And people may do good deeds for the sake of receiving accolades and receiving praises and receiving all, you know, whatever perks that comes from just being, you know, recognized as a good person. But on the other hand, someone may give to the poor, and they may give it silently and without letting anyone else know, but they're doing it out of their heart, because they really want to help the poor, because they love God and they see God's heart for the poor, and that's why they want to be in accordance, in sync with God's heart. So that's why they give to the poor. Same action, giving to the poor, but different motivation. One is that, you know, it's the selfish desire to receive praises from other people, and the other is the desire to show their love for God, and that's why they give to the poor. Different motivations have different results. One motivation, because of selfish desire, is unacceptable to God. The other motivation, because they love God, is in sync with God's heart, and therefore it is what God desires. So, you know, we can see that, yes, you know, giving to the poor is great, and it's good, it's a very good thing to do. In fact, God commands it. However, if we do it out of the wrong motivation, that outward behavior is not acceptable to God. So that's why God says the first and foremost and the greatest commandment is to love Him, because He wants to see our heart, our desire. Why are we doing the things that we're doing? And if we look, jump down to in Mark chapter 12, verse 32, and to see what the scribe says, we can see even more of what is meant by loving God. In verse 32, the scribe said to Jesus, after Jesus said all these things, the scribe said, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So this is basically the same idea that the scribe actually, he caught the intention, or he understood the intention that Jesus was giving. Meaning that, you know, yes, burnt offerings and sacrifices are commanded by God. And if you look at the Old Testament, especially look through the book of Exodus, you can see that, you know, there are many offerings and many sacrifices, and there is actually a right way of doing it, and you know, if you do it the wrong way, it's not acceptable. So sacrifices and offerings and many other things are all commanded in the Old Testament. But the scribe understood Jesus' intention. The scribe understood what God meant when He gave all these commandments. It is that, you know, for them to obey, yes, but He wants them to obey willingly. He wants them to obey from their heart, from a heart of love and adoration for God, and not just because it's a command so they do it, or not just because if they do it, you know, the people will think of them as holier or, you know, more, you know, whatever, more mature, or you know, just give them praises and whatever. In fact, if we read through the Gospels, we can see that many times Jesus was really angry at the Pharisees, because that's exactly what they did. You know, they pretend, you know, to do a lot of good things so that they can get the praises from men. But Jesus turns around and said, you know what, God is not pleased with your action. So hopefully it is clear that because God made loving God the greatest commandment, the first and foremost commandment of all, we can see that it is in His heart, it is what He desired. And His desire is to see our motivations, is to see that what we're doing is because we love Him. And it is this is a good time for us to stop and just to reflect on our own lives, you know, of the things that we do. I'm speaking to the Christians right now, you know, why do you go to church? Why do you go to, if you go to fellowship, or why do you go to prayer meetings? Or why do you do the things that you do? Are you doing it because, you know, you think that's the thing to do? Are you doing it because, you know, you think you know, other people in church will praise me or will give me accolades, or other people in church will think that I'm a mature Christian or whatever? Or are you doing it for the right reason? Are you doing it because you love God? So this is a good reflection for us, and to recognize that the greatest commandment, which is the commandment that is most precious to God Himself, is that He wants to see our motivation. He wants us to love Him. He wants to see that our actions are based upon our love for Him and not anything else. And speaking of this, I just want to make sure, make it clear, as I said last week also, that there is an order between the greatest commandment and the second greatest commandment. As we see last week, you know, Jesus said that, you know, the prerequisite for being His disciple is that we have to love God above everything else. Well, if we see the greatest commandment and the second greatest commandment, the greatest commandment first is to love God. Then comes the second commandment, is to then to love our neighbors as ourselves. We cannot flip-flop this too. We cannot make loving others the priority and then loving God the second greatest commandment. No. There's still, you know, we should keep the greatest commandment, the greatest commandment. And then the second commandment is very important, which is loving others as ourselves, or loving our neighbors as ourselves. But, you know, that could never replace the greatest commandment. So I just want to make sure that we are clear with this. However, just because we say we love God, doesn't excuse us from loving others. What do I mean? I mean that we cannot say that, you know, we love God and then start, you know, hating others, or start backbiting others, start, you know, speaking rumors or lies, or you know, being angry, being bitter at other people, because that doesn't work. In fact, if we turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, let's turn there. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, this is what the Holy Spirit says through John the Apostle. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, it says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." So it's very important for us, you know, not to use, "Oh, I love God," as an excuse for us to be able to, you know, to dislike someone else or to hate someone else. It's very clear in the Bible, and especially in the verse that I just read, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, that, you know, if we claim that we love God, our outward action should also show that, you know, we love others. You know, if we in a sense, fulfill the greatest commandment, then the rest of the commandment, you know, the second greatest commandment, and the rest also are false in place. In fact, if we look at the Matthew account of the greatest commandment, which is in Matthew chapter 22, let's just go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 40. 22, verse 40, where Jesus just finished saying, actually from verse 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And Matthew chapter 22, verse 40, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is actually the same account, but, you know, this is recorded in Matthew, and the one we read previously was recorded in Mark. So in this account, basically what Jesus is saying, that, you know, if you fulfill the top two greatest, you know, the greatest commandment and the second greatest commandment, then you basically are fulfilling the spirit or the intent of the entire law and the prophets, you know, basically the entire Old Testament rules and regulations. And so basically loving God and loving others is a fulfillment of the intent of the entire rules and regulations and all the laws that are recorded in the Bible. So once again, yes, our outward behavior is important, but God looks deep into our motivations to see why we're doing what we're doing. And if our motivations are wrong, then what we're doing outside does not really give us any any brownie points with God. Let's just say that. That you know, God will not accept the outward behavior or our outward actions because our motivation was wrong. So you know, we should check our motivations and to see and to recognize, why are we doing what we're doing? Are we doing it because we love God? Are we doing it because we're loving others? Or are we doing it for our selfish gains, to be recognized as someone who is good and to receive all the praises from men or whatever other reasons there are? Of course, there are outward actions that comes naturally from our love of God. In fact, if we go back to 1 John and just go a few chapters down, actually one chapter down, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, let's just read what it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Okay, so yes, we cannot just say I love God and have no actions. You know, that's basically just lip service, just saying whatever comes to our mind. When we truly love God, then there are actions, then you know, good actions will naturally flow out. And one of the actions is, yes, that according to 1 John chapter 5 verse 3, that you know, loving God is keeping His commandments. So when we keep the commandments, because it stems from our love of God, then those actions, those outward actions of obeying the commandments, are accepted by God. But when we just do the outward actions, just when we just sacrifice and offer stuff to God without the inward action of loving God, then those actions are not accepted by God. In fact, those actions are futile, because you know, it doesn't do anything. So in 1 John chapter 5 verse 3, it says that, you know, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. So it's important that we, you know, that we fulfill the greatest commandment in loving Him, and that when we have that love of Him will naturally flow out from us in the action of obeying His commandments. And we have to be careful that you know, when we do certain things that we think are according to what God says, or when we do things that we think are keeping in sync with the commandments of God. What do I mean? Because basically, just to make sure that we know that the things that we are doing are what God commands us or commanded us to do. Let's turn back to Mark chapter 7, verse 6 to 13. In Mark chapter 7, verse 6 to 13, this is basically Jesus rebuking the Pharisees. As I said, you know, just now, that Jesus, many times Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, because the Pharisees, basically the Pharisees are the theologians of the time, during the time of Jesus. Many of them are teaching one thing and doing another thing. They're teaching the high morals, but the, you know, when they're living their life out, they aren't fulfilling those things. And this is one incident where Jesus actually rebuked them, because they are giving lip service to saying that they love God, while in reality they aren't. Let's just go to that story in Mark chapter 7 verse 6. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and then He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" So we have to be careful that, you know, what we're doing are actually what God commands and not what man commanded. In verse 8, this is Mark chapter 7, verse 8, "For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." He said to them, "All too well, you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'If a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban,' meaning that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother. making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do. So what Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees for is that, you know, the Pharisees pretended and gave lip service to saying that, you know, because I love God so much that all my money is devoted to God, therefore I don't need to give money to my fathers and I don't need to support my father and my mother, and therefore they don't need to honor their father and mother. And Jesus is saying, you know what? What you're doing is that you are trying to replace the command of God with your desire or your tradition of man. So when we keep God's commandment, we have to be careful. You know, when we say you have to love God, therefore you keep His commandments, make sure you're keeping God's commandment and not keeping whatever men say or whatever the tradition of men say. And we'll go deeper next time about how to keep His commandments. Why did Jesus say that His commandments are not burdensome? His commandments are, you know, in fact, Jesus also said, "Take up my cross, for my cross is." It's not burdensome, it's not hard, it's easy, and it's light and easy to bear. But hopefully just this quick digging into the greatest commandment, we can see what it means to be a real Christian is that, you know, we have to love God first. You know, we have to have the right motivation, and that motivation is to love God and then to love others. And when all our actions stem from these two motivations, loving God first, of course, and then loving others, then the rest of our action will fall in line. Our outward behaviors, all the things that we do because we love God, because we love others, will be accepted by God. And so hopefully just looking through this, we are reminded to, first of all, just to have an introspection and to see why we do certain things, why are we doing what we are doing, and hopefully we can see that, you know, those that are in accordance with because we love God will be kept and will continue doing, and those that aren't will be rejected or will be, you know, or will change those things so that our outward motivation, our outward behavior will match our inward motivation of loving God. Okay, so let's close this time with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this time, and Lord, thank You for giving us the opportunity just to remind us, Lord, that the greatest commandment is to love You, and the second greatest commandment is to love others. And Lord, that loving You is Your desire, love for us to love You, for us to respond to Your love, Lord. That's what brings You joy and brings You happiness. So Lord, right now, Lord, I ask that Your Holy Spirit will come and teach us and guide us and to remind us each and every day, in fact, each and every second, that our motivation of what we do, why we're doing what we're doing, is because we love You. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.